Peace talks between Russia and Ukraine reach a dead end, according to President Vladimir Putin. Meanwhile, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky accuses Russian invaders of raping women and children. The official death toll due to Agaton now at 43. Later on in the program, we'll speak with IM Pilipinas convener Tim Orbos about the decision of some of the regional chapters to shift their support to Vice President Lenny Robredo. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Our top story at this hour, Russian President Vladimir Putin says peace talks with Ukraine are at a dead end. During a joint press conference with Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko on Tuesday, Putin said Russia's almost seven-week offensive is, quote, going according to plan. He also vowed to continue the invasion if no peace deal was achieved. There's no word on progress of the virtual peace talks between the two nations after Ukraine accused Russian troops of carrying out war crimes by killing unarmed civilians in Bucha and other towns in the north. Russian soldiers being accused of more atrocities against Ukrainian civilians. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says investigators have received reports of hundreds of cases of rape, including sexual assault of children. Speaking to Lithuanian lawmakers, Zelensky said testimonials continue to be collected and new mass graves are found almost daily. But Moscow is again denying they're targeting civilians and carrying out war crimes. Russia says its campaign is now focusing on capturing more territory on behalf of separatists. This includes Mariupol, which has been reduced to a wasteland following the siege. Ukrainian authorities announced the capture of a prominent pro-Kremlin tycoon who escaped house arrest after Russia's invasion. President Volodymyr Zelensky posted a picture online of a disheveled-looking Viktor Medvedchuk in handcuffs. Medvedchuk, one of the richest people in Ukraine, is a hugely controversial figure because of his close ties with Moscow. The 67-year-old business tycoon counts Vladimir Putin as a close friend and says the Russian president is the godfather of his youngest daughter. He was being held under house arrest since last year on treason charges for attempting to steal natural resources from Crimea and for handing Moscow military secrets. His detention sparked anger within the Kremlin. The United Nations says the war in Ukraine has forced 12.7 million residents out of their homes. 7 million of them have been internally displaced, while 4.6 million have crossed borders to seek refuge in other countries. The UN also reiterating its call for soldiers to spare hospitals.
Nearly 7 weeks into weeks of intense hostilities continue to drive the world's fastest growing displacement crisis in recent history. As you heard yesterday, almost two-thirds of all Ukrainian children have fled their homes. We're also gravely concerned about the continued attacks against health facilities, with 108 attacks reported as of yesterday. Health facilities must be respected and protected by all parties to this conflict.
U.S. inflation has soared to a fresh 40-year high in March as Russia's war in Ukraine boosted the cost of gasoline to record highs. The U.S. Consumer Price Index accelerated to 8.5% last month, the highest since December 1981. The March print further cements the case for a 50 basis points interest rate hike from the Federal Reserve next month. U.S. President Joe Biden pinning the blame for the elevated inflation on his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin.
The two largest grain producers in the world, China and, Ukraine and Russia, are not doing what they usually do, so everything's going up. We saw today's inflation data. 70% of the increase in prices in March came from Putin's price hike in gasoline.
Inflation was already a headache before Moscow's invasion of Ukraine, but the war sent gasoline prices in the U.S. to an all-time high of over $4 per gallon. Biden now plans to extend the availability of higher biofuel blends of gasoline during the summer to curb soaring fuel costs and to cut reliance on foreign energy sources. Here at home, more headaches for Filipino consumers as the Philippine Central Bank sees the country's inflation staying elevated for the rest of the year. But a think tank believes the reopening of the economy should offset any drag on growth created by high prices. Warren de Guzman gives us the full story.
The Philippine Central Bank says inflation is going up and it will stay up for the rest of 2022. Inflation already hit 4% in March, 1% higher than January and February levels.
The point forecast do not indicate the inflation exceeding 5%. It could go towards 5%. However, the situation is uncertain. And in the next meeting, come May 19, we will be evaluating again the forecast path for inflation.
There are some positive signs, with global oil prices cooling off, hovering near $100 per barrel. Even as the Russia-Ukraine crisis, the situation that stoked global commodity prices to begin with, remains unresolved. However, there are other signals, such as rising clamor for wage and fare hikes to help the labor and transport sector cope with higher costs. These are known as second-round effects and could stoke inflation further. Central Bank Governor Ben Jokno says there is a lot of uncertainty.
The decision to keep the policy rate at its current level during the last policy meeting was deemed appropriate given increased uncertainty surrounding the outlook for both inflation and growth. In addition, we are aware that inflation is likely to remain elevated in the coming months due mainly to domestic and global supply-side pressures. Inflation expectations have likewise risen, but they continue to be anchored to the 2-4% target band. Under these circumstances, it's still best to address these inflationary pressures through direct, non-monetary interventions.
The ASEAN Plus 3 Macroeconomic Research Office, which studies the ASEAN economies plus China, Japan, and Korea, expects Philippine inflation to average 4.1% this year, below the Philippine Central Bank's latest forecast of 4.3%. The 4.1% forecast of AMRO is at par with expectations for the rest of ASEAN, but higher than the 3.5% inflation forecast for ASEAN Plus 3. AMRO also expects the Philippines to be the best-performing economy in ASEAN Plus 3 in terms of growth, alongside Vietnam, with a forecast of 6.5% for both. AMRO chief economist Hu E. Kor says the reopening of the Philippine economy should offset any drag on growth created by elevated inflation. But he also says the Philippine Central Bank should be careful to make sure inflation remains under control.
We expect that private spending will bounce back very rapidly once the economy is open much more fully. So we are quite confident that, you know, that this 6.5% growth can be achieved this year, and we expect growth, you know, of another 6.5% for next year. And we don't see the urgent need to raise policy rate. But having said that, it's important to make sure that inflation doesn't become entrenched, and there's scope, I think, for the BSP or the central bank to start considering withdrawing some of the policy stimulus.
Warren de Guzman, ABS-CBN News.
Around 6,000 Filipinos have cast their votes in Hong Kong for the Philippine presidential elections. Overseas absentee voting in the city has now entered its fourth day. The consul expects a bigger turnout this year compared to the 2016 polls. The consul also expects a smoother voting process with the addition of more polling precincts.
As we observe the behavior as of the last 2-3 days, we will probably reach the 10,000 mark well before the weekend. We'd rather see the situation on the first day in a positive light. So we see that a lot of our Filipinos here in Hong Kong really want to cast their vote. And like our Consul General says, there's no other way for other thing for us to do but to honor that effort and make sure that everyone who comes to the polling center is accommodated.
COMELEC's newly amended gun ban rule meets resistance from within. COMELEC Commissioner Socorro Inting quit as chairperson of the full body's gun ban panel in protest of the OnBank's decision to allow Chairman Saidamin Pangarungan to grant gun ban exemptions and place areas under COMELEC's control. Inting says the gun ban panel has been rendered pointless and inutile because of the amendments. Manila Mayor Iscon Moreno wooing voters in Pampanga. Our correspondent Bianca Dava now joins us with the latest from there. Bianca, over to you.
Carmina, a day before the ban on campaigning during Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, Action Democratico Standard Guerrero Iscon Moreno de Magosto and his Senate slate went to Pampanga province for a campaign sortie. All four of the Moreno Ong senatorial vets are present. We have Robert Tison, Carl Barita, Samira Gutok, and John Castiglione. The Action slate starts today with a courtesy call following the embassy in the municipality. In a chance interview with reporters, Domagoso said he respects the decision of the Garcia-led One Cebu to endorse a former Senator Bongbong Marcos Jr. for president. On Tuesday, One Cebu, the ruling local party led by Governor Gwen Garcia, announced it is backing the presidential bid of Marcos Jr. after considering differing opinions of party leaders. The party had earlier announced its endorsement of Marcos Jr.'s running mate Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio. Domagoso had visited Cebu, the country's most vote-rich province with around 3.2 million registered voters, six times, including his two listening tours in November and December last year and his camp events just last week. Still, the presidential bet said he thanked Governor Garcia for welcoming him and his slate to Cebu and accommodating them. Domagoso also remains grateful to Cebu 3rd District Representative Pablo John or PJ Garcia for continuing to support his presidential bid. PJ Garcia.
Okay, we seem to have lost Bianca there. We're going to try and get her back in the line for the remainder of her report. In the meantime, we move on with the rest of the news this noon. More groups previously backing Manila Mayor Iscon Moreno's presidential bid shift their allegiance to Vice President Lenny Robredo. These are the regional chapters of volunteer group Ikaw Muna Pilipinas or IM Pilipinas. But the group's acting secretary general is downplaying the development, saying majority of the members are staying with Moreno. The Manila mayor also unfazed by the withdrawal of this of support.
Did they talk to me?
No.
Now you're no. See?
How do you feel about
it? Demokrasya to eh. They can do whatever they want to do. They're entitled to their opinion.
98% to 99% of our members are staying with Yorme Isko Moreno, and only a few members, no? Well, you have Secretary former, Sec. Gen. Elmer Argaño, who transferred. I am Pilipinas is not against Lenny. We were not against Marcos. We are simply for Isko Moreno.
Robredo, meanwhile, thanked and welcomed her new supporters, which include former Transportation Undersecretary Tim Orbos. Let's talk to the man himself. We're joined now by IM Pilipinas convener Tim Orbos. Mr. Orbos, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi. Good afternoon again, Carmina. And thank you for inviting me over.
All right. So first off, let's clarify things. You heard the soundbite of Mr. Picha there saying 99% of their members are staying with Manila Mayor Iscon Moreno, downplaying the shift of your group to Vice President Lenny Robredo. Your thoughts on that first, your reaction to what Mr. Picha said.
Well, first of all, that's good for them. We weren't really looking to, you know, push everyone out. In fact, the call for unification and now a unification for VP Lenny is really a call for everyone, not just I in Pilipinas, but for the rest of the volunteers and supporters of all presidentiables. However, let me just, I really don't mind what Philip is saying, Philip Pitch is saying, but, they have to be truthful to themselves because, when we talk this over, they were part of the group that would move. So, and then, Elmer has, the text messages. I myself had messages from Bong Mangahas, another convener. But let's leave it at that. At the end of the day, that's their call. They can change their minds. I really don't mind. But the thing is, this is larger than us already, Carmina. This is about 6 years or even more of having a wrong decision in place. Yes, fine. Mayor Isko has done a lot of good. He can be a good leader, a good president. But at this point in time, I think we need someone that can stand the chance against the return of the Marcos name. And then basically, nothing personal against Senator Marcos, but what they stand for has to be corrected first. It has to be acknowledged that past that we keep mentioning. It should be there before we even move forward. I think that should be given a closure. And until now, despite what he has been in where he is right now, that hasn't been attended to yet.
All right, Tim, let me just backtrack a bit here and go back to the meetings that happened or the talks that happened before your decision to shift allegiances happened. So there were talks. And Mr. Picha was supposed to be with you. What exactly were you talking about before announcing the shift of support to the vice president? Go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. With regards to Philip, I cannot really talk about him directly because I did not have the chance to really talk to him. But there's another convener, Bong Mangahas, because there's really five of us who put up I Am Filipinas. And three of us have decided to push for unity and then now, really push it further by being with the VP Lenny. But Bong Mangahas was with us all the way until suddenly he said no. But that, again, that's his call. So I think regardless whether what they say about us and regardless what they say about themselves, I think it's high time for them to reflect where we are or where they are right now. Is it still worth it to finish the race? It's really honorable to finish the race, Carmina, and try to win it. But at the end of the day, if they forget the reason why they're running, and maybe to prevent someone who we don't really like to run our country is there, then maybe that's the way to go, and that is more honorable than finishing or trying to win a race.
All right. When you first endorsed Mayor Isko Moreno last year, you said he's a man of action. These are your very words, Tim. He's a man of action. He's able to, lead Manileños to believe in themselves again. At one point, you sort of also alluded to the kind of leadership that he has, and this is an inspired leadership. How can those be true then and not be true now?
Oh, well, it's still true now, Carmina. It's very much true. But I think that call of the times, it's very different now. We have suddenly... we are faced now with a probability of a 30-year, and it's not even 6 years. Once Marcos steps in, then maybe it's a replication of what has happened for the past 30 years they've been in power. So let us just reflect. Tama-tama naman, Holy Week. No? Let's reflect on where we're going right now. And yes, Isko is a good leader. He has shown it himself. Sabi nga niya, may resibo siya. But maybe we need a new kind of leader now. Had he been in second place, it could be different. What we need right now is really someone who has the chance to really beat Senator Marcos. Unfortunately, that's not him. It's VP Lenny, and that's telling us well of why this has happened.
Tim, you are one of those who really were out there from the very beginning, pushing for the Manila mayor to run for president. And now this image of you abandoning him, what does this tell you about your group and what does this tell the public about the mayor?
Let me be more maybe philosophical about it. I'm not abandoning him. I'm just not abandoning a bigger ship that we're in, of which he is a part of. So this is really bigger than Mayor Isko. In fact, it's bigger than all of us. It's our country that's on the line. Our group, if we're opportunists or abandoning Isko and then we think only of ourselves, why are we moving to the second place and not to the first place? And mind you, there had been a lot of calls also for us to really move to BBM. And I'm an Ilocano, why not? But then again, we look at ourselves, where we are and where we should go. Our children, our grandchildren, what will we do about them? What will they tell us later on? So, I'm not abandoning Mayor Isko. I am just pushing for my position, which is a bigger position than all of us.
But why the vice president and not the other candidates? Let's exclude former Senator Marcos, because you already said your opinion of why it shouldn't be him. But why the vice president?
Yes. First of all, the call for unity is to have one singular candidate. No, but that can be done in many ways, and we've seen it in other countries. Look at Israel, how they managed to do the coalition government, and they've succeeded. It can be as heroic as it should be, no conditions whatsoever, or it can be as transactional as how politicians would be. They would get 2 seats here, 2 seats there, so long as there's a chance for them to unite. No, so why VP Leni? Simply because, number one, her ratings show that she has her message has resonated well with the people. And when you dig deep, then you would realize that her program, her no-nonsense program, and unification per se, without really fighting anyone, is probably what we need right now. And I think we should give that a chance.
Why realize that only now and not in the beginning, before you even endorsed Manila Mayor Isko Moreno?
Well, that's the unfortunate part. Mayor Isko Moreno came in before the announcement of VP Leni. We tried at our best. Maybe the message was not what we needed at that time. As they say, Carmina, it's better late than never. I regret for not having being of help to VP Leni early on. But I think right now, and that's why we're speaking, because I think we need to speak so that people can hear us out. If there's one contribution that we can do for the lack of time or the lost time that we should have been with her, is to really speak out and say to other people, hey, alika na, sama na tayo. Alam mo, Carmina, ang daming gustong sumama, natatakot sila. Number one, papaano kami dyan? Magpapalit kami, nakakahiya. All those things, no? And then there's another group that's saying, and I always hear this na, I want to join, but huwag na muna niyo sabihin yung pangalan ko kasi pag nanalo si Marcos, papaano na ako? So all of this, see, there's apprehension, natatakot, hindi alam ang gagawin. They don't know what to do after all the animosity and hate that's been there. So eto, nag-usap kami, no, we have to come out. And if we become sacrificial lambs and a wake-up call, then siguro that's our part here.
You know, here's another conversation. I'm going to talk to you about a conversation that I had very recently about local governance. You know, when they put on their lens as a local government official, they tend to side with Marcos Jr. But then this is coming from a local government official that I spoke with, which I'm not going to name right now, but that official also said, when you talk about the bigger picture, when you talk about the whole country, the tendency is to vote for Vice President Leni Robredo. Are you also having that kind of conversations as well, where you hear similar experiences from local government officials, from people on the ground? What have your conversations been like?
That's very true. Unfortunately, because of the... First of all, we've got so much to work on, problems that we've never seen before that are here in the present. Walang nangyaring ganito since probably the last World War, and here we are faced with it, with these things. And it's so hard to go beyond what we can do today and what we can do here. So we need somebody who can position us not just for now, solve the problem now, but give us a picture of the future, as well as give us that inspiration na daanan natin ang hirap ngayon, okay lang yan kasi meron tayong kinabukasan na tinatrabaho. That's what I like about her. She grows on you as a citizen, as a Filipino. And that's what we need right now. Kailangan manggagaling sa puso.
Okay, you're coming in late in the game. Less than a month to go before D-Day, Mr. Orbos. Let's have some real talk now. When you talk about your group and the support that you're going to give Vice President Lenny Robredo this late in the game, how much of a boost can your group actually give the campaign?
We'll do what we can, Carmina. We guarantee everyone hit the ground running. But let's look at the numbers. Yes, the lead is double digit. Yes, but let's look at those numbers. A lot have rejected the opportunity to be surveyed. Nandun yun eh. Pag sinasurvey sila, there's a lot of rejection. Meaning they want to hold back. They're afraid of what to say. Number two, the increase of VP Lenny in such a short amount of time can be exponential given the short amount of time that is left. And then, look at the characteristic of those being surveyed. Hindi talaga malalim yung kanilang paniniwala doon sa kandidato nila. The biggest reason why they're voting for a candidate, kasi lamang siya. Eh, what kung hindi siya lamang? Now, that's why we have to present the issues. We have to present why we need to really think deeply, thoroughly, of what can a president do and not do for us.
So, how big is your group now as it stands? I mean, you have Mr. Peaches saying they have 99% of its members still siding with Manila Mayor Isko Moreno. Your group now that has shifted allegiance, how big of a group are we looking at here?
Siguro, it's, I can answer that and then go into numbers. But again, I sabi ko nga kanina, it's not all about the numbers, But sige, if they want to look at numbers, as we speak right now, I've received 10 calls kaagad from different parts of the organization telling us we've done the right thing and they're willing to move. I just don't like it to make it an issue of numbers because unang-una kaibigan ko rin naman sila. I've been with Mayor Isko, I believe in him. So sa akin, which I tell them, go out and volunteer yourselves to declare your position. It should not come from us. But maybe the greater effect is that we're also getting calls from other candidates, like the ones from Senator Pacquiao, from Senator Lacson. So yun ba yung trabaho namin dito na nakakagising? Eh kung siguro that's our work, nagawa na namin, we're thankful. So yes, if Philip Picture says 99%, I think that's good for him. He's doing a wonderful job, but we're not going to go hand in hand and contradict that. We're going to look at this scenario positively and just get as many people to convert to what we believe in, regardless whether they're with IM or not.
And when you talk about the provinces and where IM Pilipinas is present as we speak, at the end of the day, we're talking about votes here, right? And not just support now, but will it actually translate to votes come D-Day? So if you look at that, how many votes do you think IM Pilipinas can deliver for the vice president?
That's a good question. Honestly, Carmina, I've not really thought about it yet. But we are doing some computations, and then which would be something like... Something like a multi-level marketing type of a campaign. The good thing here is we have a good product. VP Lenny is a good product to carry. And then the urgency of time makes people realize that they need to make that decision. Hindi naman pwedeng hanging forever. So I would say, can we fill in the gap of the two double-digit numbers that Senator Marcos would carry? We hope so. And I think with everyone else, we have to wake everyone up. So I think we can do that. If you're looking at one-to-one numbers, hindi ka kayanin. Kunwari, ako lang boboto, hindi ako manghihina ng lima, hindi kukulangin tayo. No? We have to do the hard part of really pulling people to the polls for VP Lenny.
All right. Well, whichever candidate voters are supporting as we speak, we have more than a couple more weeks before Election Day. What should be at the core of people now as they decide whom to vote for? And what should be, in their minds and in their hearts and in their spirit as they really ponder on and think about not just the candidate, but the future of the nation before they cast their votes come D-Day?
I think you've said it right, no? Yeah, direct to the point. It's really think about the country. Think about your children and grandchildren. Get out of your echo chambers. May golly, there's a big, big world out there. We don't really matter much in this big, big world of ours. So that echo chamber where we stay, wow, reality will set in. And in fact, this fiesta of elections that we have right now, think about it. Pagkatapos po ng eleksyon, come May 8, we're there. May gali, saan na? Saan na yung tatakbon mong kandidato na sinasabi mo magpapakamatay ka habang buhay? Saan na yung, saan mo kukunin yung pambayad mo? No, all these things will now dawn on us. Even the andami. We cannot even list down the problems we have to work on. And I think if, and then tama yung sinabi mo, what should we carry on that day to the polling booth is that mindset that person that you will elect will carry you through thick and thin, not for the 6 years, mind you, it's going to dictate the kind of government that we will have for the next 30 years.
Tim Arbus there, convener of I Am Pilipinas. Appreciate you taking our call. Thanks again for joining us this afternoon. Take care and you keep safe.
Thank you, Carmina. Mabuhay.
And from there, we're going to take a break now. Up ahead, a look at the situation in major travel hubs as Filipinos head to the provinces for the Holy Week break. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Peace talks between Russia and Ukraine reach a dead end, according to President Vladimir Putin. Meanwhile, Ukraine and President Volodymyr Zelensky accuses Russian invaders of raping women and children. And the official death toll due to Agathon now at 43. Back with more news. Deaths caused by tropical depression Agathon in the Philippines rise to 43. The National Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Council says 37 of the fatalities died from a landslide in Baybay City in Leyte. Search and rescue operations are still ongoing.
On the part of the NDRMC, wala pa po talaga si Agathon sa storm. Eh, nagbaba na po tayo ng warnings. At ito naman po ay pinatupad ng ating mga kasamahan sa local government, pati dyan sa Baybay. Nagkaroon nga po ng, according to their mayor, nagkaroon nga po ng pag-i-evacuate mula doon sa hazard, sa landslide-prone areas na na-identify po sa kanilang mga hazard mapping. Pero ang mukhang ang hindi po natin na nakita ay yung tindi ng landslide, kasi parang lumagpas po yung landslide doon mismo sa hazard prone area at naabot yung mga relatively safer part of the community.
The NDRRMC also says relief operations continue for thousands of residents who are still staying in evacuation centers. Well, heavy rains are still expected in some parts of the country in the wake of the devastation caused by Agathon. The latest on the weather now from ABS-CBN's resident meteorologist Ariel Rojas. Ariel, over to you.
Good afternoon, Carmina. At 10 a.m. today, the remnant low of Tropical Depression Agathon dissipated. Sea travel has resumed in areas previously under Tropical Cyclone Wind Signal Number 1, but flights going to Eastern Visayas may still be cancelled as inclement weather continues. Heavy rains may still persist until this afternoon in Eastern Visayas, while scattered rains may also be expected in Calabarzon, Bicol Region, Marinduque, Romblon, Oriental Mindoro, and Caraga. Afternoon thunderstorms are also possible in northern Palawan, Lanao del Sur, and in some parts of Cagayan Valley, Cordillera, Central Luzon, and Davao Region. Metro Manila, meanwhile, will continue to have overcast skies, and later this afternoon until evening, rain showers will definitely affect the commute and the heavy pre-holiday traffic, especially those going to the provinces in this week's last workday. No other weather disturbance is expected for the rest of the Holy Week. Tomorrow, Monday, Thursday, devotees can take advantage of the fair weather in Metro Manila and most of Luzon for Visita Iglesia. However, northern Palawan, Mindoro, Bicol, most of the Visayas, especially Panay, will still be rainy, and afternoon rain showers will be in effect in northern Mindanao, Caraga, and Davao. From Good Friday through Easter Sunday, warm weather is expected in almost the entire archipelago, but still with afternoon thunderstorms in Bicol Region, Mimaropa, Visayas, Zamboanga Peninsula, northern Mindanao, Caraga, and Davao Region. The improving weather in the Visayas in the coming days will definitely help in the clearing, search and retrieval, and relief operations, as well as the subsiding of the floodwaters. And for those spending the Holy Week out of town, Baguio will be sunny tomorrow and on Friday, but expect wet weather on weekend. Tagaytay will also be sunny tomorrow, but afternoon rain showers are forecast Friday to Easter Sunday. And Boracay, which experienced flooding from Agaton rains, will be sunny Thursday through Easter Sunday. That's the update on the weather. This is Ariel Rojas. Stay safe, Kapamilya, and back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Ariel Rojas. Back here in the studio, the intake at the Ninoy Aquino International Airport expected to be filled with passengers this Holy Week break. Our very own Jackie Manabat now joins us from Lina'ia with the latest. Jackie?
Carmina, after a two-year restricted movement, Filipino travelers are flocking to transport hubs in time for one of the longest holidays here in the Philippines, the Holy Week. And here at the NAIA Terminal 3, social distancing is barely observed in queues, and passengers are asked to wear their masks properly from every now and then. Particularly here at NAIA Terminal 3, transport hubs are seeing passenger volume near pre-pandemic levels, with friends and families traveling in groups. Yesterday, NAIA registered 28,000 passengers of domestic flights leaving Metro Manila, and it almost reached the pre-pandemic number of 30,000 same day, or April 12 in 2019. Passenger volume of domestic flights reached its peak over the weekend, and then NAIA management is expecting lesser passenger volume starting today until Black Saturday. Carmina?
Thanks a lot, Jackie Manabat. And from there, Holy Week travelers expected to pack the Araneta bus terminal in Cubao. Zian Ambrosio now joins us with the latest from there. Zian?
Carmina, we are now here at the Victory Liner bus terminal. And as you can see behind me, the chance passengers are awaiting for their buses going to Baguio in the northern areas. The rains are not even stopping the travelers from going to their provinces or out of town during this Holy Week break. More than 1,000 passengers are now here at the Victory Liner bus terminal in Cubao, Quezon City. Most of the buses are headed north towards Olongapo, Tarlac, and Baguio City. Some people are queuing at the ticket booth, while others bought their ticket online and just show their QR code to the bus conductor. According to the operations manager of Victory Liner, they are expecting around 5,000 passengers to come in at around 2 this afternoon until evening. But as of this time, there are still lesser passengers in the waiting area, giving the chance passengers an opportunity to travel early. One of them was a Supreme Court mediator, Cecil Garin, who waited since 9 a.m. and was able to ride the bus at 11 a.m. She advises chance passengers to be attentive to the announcements so they will not miss their opportunity. Meantime, Victory Liner management says they allow passengers to bring pets in their buses, but these are only allowed on the special trips. And that's the latest here in Quezon City. Zian Ambrosio, ABS-CBN News.
Thanks a lot, Zian. Take care and keep safe. Let's get the latest situation now from the PITX bus terminal, where Filipinos are trying to catch a ride for the provinces this Holy Week break. Zan Hernandez is there with an update. Zan, over to you.
Hi, Carmina. It is still relatively early because, as we all know, a lot of people still have work today, and we expect the deluge of passengers to start arriving by late afternoon until evening. But as you can see, it is already quite busy here at the Parañaque Integrated Terminal Exchange, or PITX. It is fortunate, though, that this is a huge bus terminal. It has 7 boarding gates, and there's a lot of seating. We also see an ample amount of staff guiding passengers, so we don't see a lot of congestion just yet. Over here to my left, you can see a lot of passengers waiting patiently for their buses to arrive. These are passengers bound for Quezon and Bicol, and some of them have been waiting here since early morning, since 8 a.m. for buses that will arrive at 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. This is because some of them came from the northern areas of Metro Manila and even as far as Bulacan. Many of the buses arriving today are also fully booked since passengers made reservations about a week ago or a month ago. But those who might want to catch last-minute trips don't have to worry because there are a lot of bus units on standby, according to PITX management. As for ticket prices, it has remained at pre-pandemic levels because the LTFRB did not approve any fare increases for the last few years. So if you're bound for Quezon, you will have to shell out like 550 pesos per head, while those bound for Mindoro will have to shell out 1,300 pesos per person. So overall, the situation here is peaceful, it is orderly, and we will see if the situation will remain the same until tonight when the volume of passengers start arriving. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Our very own Zen Hernandez there joining us this afternoon. Take care, Zen, and keep safe. Back here in the studio, Senate President Vicente Soto III names four individuals allegedly behind agricultural smuggling. They are Lea Cruz and a certain June Diamante, who allegedly smuggle agri-fishery products. Both are said to be operating in Cagayan de Oro City. The other two were a Manuel Tan and a certain Andrew Chang. The National Intelligence Coordinating Agency said the four are also on their list of over 20 individuals allegedly involved in the scheme. Meanwhile, a group of vegetable traders from La Trinidad Benguet claims some government officials are allowing the entry of smuggled vegetables.
When you came here March 19, you told us na ang smuggling ay maraming klase na pwede ring misdeclared, underdeclared. You say that we just rely on the paper. Would that be a 100% assurance na legal talaga yan?
Pros and vegetable po lahat yung in-apply nila. And it was granted, it was approved. Binasa po yung mga documents nila doon lahat. Hindi po siya smuggled for the record.
During the hearing, Agriculture Assistant Secretary Federico Lasiste recanted his previous statement, saying he received calls from government officials who protect smugglers. Agriculture Secretary William Dar was again a no-show at that hearing. And take another break. Still ahead, the world passes another grim COVID milestone. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. The Philippine government retains the implementation of the least stringent COVID restrictions in Metro Manila. The National Capital Region will be under Alert Level 1 until April 30th. Dozens of other areas across the country will also be under the same alert level. Meanwhile, some areas in the country will be under the stricter COVID Alert Level 2. These include Benguet, Quezon Province, Palawan, Bohol, Cebu, Leyte, Zamboanga del Sur, and Davao del Norte. The Philippines' COVID-19 Interagency Task Force adopts government's 10-point policy agenda for economic recovery. That's as the country inches toward a new normal phase of the pandemic. The agenda includes strengthening the Philippines' healthcare system, expanding the COVID vaccination program, resuming face-to-face learning, further expanding public transportation capacity, and relaxing requirements for international travel. The National Economic and Development Authority is tasked to monitor the compliance of government agencies. The world has surpassed 500 million confirmed COVID-19 cases. According to latest data from Johns Hopkins University, global COVID deaths now stand at 6.1 million. The number of total vaccine shots administered, meanwhile, is now at 11.1 billion. New daily COVID cases globally have been declining. Deaths are also on a downtrend. But the World Health Organization says the world remains in the acute phase of the pandemic. More news overseas. A massive manhunt now underway for a man who shot 10 people on a packed subway train in New York City. The suspect is said to have put on a gas mask, then set off smoke bombs before opening fire. In addition to the 10 gunshot victims, 13 others were injured in the ensuing panic or suffered smoke inhalation. None of the injuries are considered life-threatening, and police say the incident is not being investigated as an act of terrorism. The shooting comes just a day after U.S. President Joe Biden announced new gun control measures. In sports, the Brooklyn Nets booked their tickets to the NBA playoffs. The Nets outlasted the Cleveland Cavaliers 115-108 in their play-in match to become the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference. Kyrie Irving started hot for Brooklyn and finished with 34 points and 12 assists, while teammate Kevin Durant added 25 points. The Nets will next face the second-seeded Boston Celtics in the first round. The Cavaliers will battle the winner of the Atlanta-Charlotte knockout match for the East's eighth seed. And before we go, a rare show of unity from supporters of the Ateneo de Manila University Blue Eagles and the De La Salle University Green Archers. Members of the rival schools wore pink during Tuesday's UAAP basketball game. This is in response to a call from the two universities' presidents as a show of support for presidential aspirant of Vice President Lenny Robredo. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the news channel.